Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Order in a court. Let us pray. Yes. Father, thank you for each one that's here this evening. May the word of God be living and powerful, as indeed it is, and sharp this evening. Let it cut and heal with its distemos, its two mouths, that sharp, two-edged scalpel. Take us apart, put us back together again. Take apart the wrong thinking, the joints. Penetrate to the marrow of our bones, the very wellspring of our life. By the declaration, the victorious declaration, Tetelestai, it is finished. We thank you for these things. Bless the word of God as it goes forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Our GG and S, great God and Savior. Amen. Friday Night Live, this coming Friday at 7:30. Please plan to attend if you can. Always have a wonderful time. Greg Seligman will be speaking briefly. He's going to give us his testimony, Terry told me. And then Terry will finish up with, my gosh, he said, be prepared. Buckle up. He's going to let us have it. He's going to really let it go. He's going to blow us away with grace. So I can't wait. That sounds good. You got my attention. I'm coming. And then September 2nd, which is coming very quickly, a week away, really only a week away, is the Ladies Seminar 2021, much anticipated, as you can see right here. See that? The weaker vessel with question marks. The weaker vessel? I don't even know how to say it. The weaker vessel? Are you the weaker vessel, ladies? We're going to learn all about that. Judy has these wonderful messages planned and well underway for your listening pleasure and for your spiritual progress by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Lord's word always, not the words of people, not the words of men, but the word of the Lord, the word of Christ, the word of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And September 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, 30th at 7:30 p.m. That's every Thursday, five Thursdays in September. Has everybody got that, please? Mark it down on your personal calendar, and please plan to attend. And for the men whose wives come, and others can come too, we will have a time of fellowship and some fine Italian cuisine, pizza. We're going to do pizza. I'll have to talk to Frank about pizza. He's the pizza man. It's one of his many hats he wears, is the pizza man. So anyway, that's what we plan to do like we've done in years past. I don't know how many this is. How many, 12? 12 years we've had this. Is that crazy? That's insane. 12 years. What? Where did those years go? Where did it come from? Where did it go? Well, God's faithful. We're still here. Most of us are still alive and well. So anyway, it is finished, part three, Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. When something is designed and built, it is finished when all the features and benefits that were intended for it to operate by or to have as part parcel of its operation are in place and it's ready to use. And so it is with our salvation, in which all things required are provided. God hasn't missed a thing. He is thorough. That's like an understatement. He does all things very well. It's an understatement, to say the least, and has taken everything into account. Nothing has surprised him, taken him unaware, or shocked him in any way. He's always known everything that's knowable. He's never learned anything because he's always known everything. He's omniscient. He's omni-all knowledge, science, omniscience. That's omniscience. He knows all things. He is quite the scientist, knowing all things perfectly. Having invented all of them and created all of them, he knows everything about everything. So did you know that about God? I just wanted to emphasize that and remind you in case you didn't know. So in Romans 8:28, he has vowed to work all things together for the good, to work all things together, both the good and the bad, the blessed and the blundered, the well-intended and even the ill-willed, and turn it into good. Agathos, favorable outcome, no matter what came before. He said, I do not promise a smooth path, but I do promise those who trust me a smooth landing. Not a smooth path, but a smooth landing. And so we can count on landing smoothly. So how can he do that? Why should he do that? Let's answer those questions. How can he? Well, he's all wise and all powerful, and yet being holy, can never operate outside of righteousness and justice. That's a good thing, because there's never a compromise. Therefore, because we have imputed righteousness, and we do, as a gift, the moment you believe in Christ, your faith is reckoned as righteousness, even as it was for Abraham. In Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And we likewise believe in Christ, and it's reckoned to us as righteousness. Therefore, because we have imputed righteousness, justice is obligated to provide creative solutions using the negative outcome of choices and decisions to chasten us, oftentimes, as we sow, as we reap what we sow, and the positive things to reinforce the believer until he finally learns how to live righteously, soberly, and godly in the present world. In Titus 2:12. So God uses the good and the bad. He uses the negative to chasten and the positive to reinforce. It's a perfect blend. It's been appointed unto us not only to believe, those are the good things, but to suffer for his sake. Those are the negative things. The chastening, the pruning, and the negative consequences, unintended negative consequences of bad decisions, and the positive, the blessedness that he sends our way to reinforce our progress in the spiritual life until we learn how to live righteously, soberly, and godly in Titus 2:12. If he continues, that is, the believer, if he continues in the Word, John 8:32, and comes to learn and to know that it is finished, he has to come to that conclusion. If and when he does, what kind of life should he expect to have? Here's what I call it. I call it a life of effortless attainment. And that's Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all you who labor and are hard-pressed, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Has that been your experience as a Christian? Or is yours a little different than that? Perhaps you are attempting to finish something that's already done. That can happen, you know. And it doesn't work well when you do that. If it's done, it's done. Can't be done and undone at the same time. I hope you know. That's called diametrically opposite, mutually exclusive concepts of action or activity. So, a life of effortless attainment, Matthew 11:28-30, urgency in life and priority without any anxiety, and transformation without trying or working. Transformation without travail. Urgency without anxiety, transformation without travail. A life of resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's Hebrews 4:3. Here's what it says, in case you don't remember. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Not activity, but rest. As he himself said, as I have sworn in my wrath, those who do not trust him or do not enter into rest, but have to work so hard in trying to please God or living up to the heavenly high standard of the law, which no one can do. It's too high, too hard, too heavy, and too holy. And we just don't have what it takes. For the strength of sin resides in the law. So try to do it, and it will only see to it that you can't do it. That's what it'll do. Try to do it, see to it that you can't do it. You can't do it. God did it, so you don't have to. So he says, I said in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, it's already done. So are you. Those he foreknew, he predestinated. Those he predestinated, he called. Those he called, he justified and glorified. You're already a finished product in the eyes of God. Therefore, it must be finished already. When Christ said it is finished, it must have indeed been finished. Where we're concerned, and where those who will believe throughout the ages and generations of human history are concerned, for I shall declare to generations yet to be born, that it is finished. Psalm 22:31, the psalm of Christ's sufferings and deaths upon the cross. And into thy hands I commit my spirit. Psalm 31:5, the final declaration from the cross. And indeed he did. And then went to be with the Father, opened the gates, the ancient doors, and entered in, taking captivity captive, giving gifts to men, sending the Holy Spirit to indwell the church, starting on the day of Pentecost, and in every case for every person who believes in Christ, instantly and immediately, the fullness belongs to each one. No one gets more than another. It may take you longer to figure it out, and a lot more time than others who are intent on learning and understanding and working down or out their salvation with fear and trembling till they find out it's God who's in us, willing and working according to his own good purpose and pleasure. Working all those things together for the good to those who love him. Didn't say you love him perfectly. Just says you love him and are called by him. Told you, you're called. Foreknown, predestinated, called. According to a predetermined plan. His predetermined plan. He thought of everything. That's how he gets us. And that's how he causes us and carries us along and gets us to progress in this wonderful spiritual life, by finally showing us how finished it is. Hebrews 4:3, we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter my rest, although the works were finished. They're finished already from the foundation of the world. I, for one, want to remember this all the time, at all times, and in every situation. So from now on, when I see you, I'm going to remember to do this, make myself a note. I think I'll write it on my hand. Every time I see you, I will say, it is finished, before we start talking, to remind myself and perhaps you as well. And then you can say whatever you want. I don't care what you say. I'm just going to say it's finished. In Philippians 2:12, we are called to and commanded to work out, katergazomai, to work out or to work down our salvation, which means we figure it out Work it out means figure it out. You know, like a math problem, you'd work it out. It means figure out how this works. Think it through or figure it out. Resulting in coming to the right conclusion in Philippians 2:12. Consecutive thinking resulting in conclusive thinking. We're coming to the right conclusion. Everyone doing their own thinking, but coming to the same conclusion. That is God's conclusion. What's his conclusion? It's finished. When we do, we'll surely conclude that it is finished, and to begin to live life, letting or allowing God to will and work in us according to his good pleasure, according to his good purpose and pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, who is the pleasure of God. All of God's pleasure is toward Christ and you in Christ. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:12, work it out. Philippians 2:13, God's in you, willing and working of his own good pleasure. For we know, because we thought it through and concluded thus, that God works all things together for the good, for those who love him and are called and chosen, in whom he is working out his all-wise and comprehensively gracious plan that he's doing in all of us. The problem most believers have is that they never learn the essential importance of taking in the word daily and meditating upon it, so that they might come to the conclusion and learn just how finished it is. And instead, live as though it were not so. And live their lives trying to finish what God already finished. And wonder why they have no closure. And are never sure where things stand. It's Ecclesiastes 3:14. Anything God does is forever. And he finished the work of redemption, so that's forever true. Forever settled in heaven. That word is forever settled in heaven. And he watches over that word to perform it in you and in me. Nothing can be put to it. Anything God's done, nothing can be taken away from anything God's done. And he says, and God finished it. That's what it says. It's asah, A-S-A-H. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, that famous verse we all know. We know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God finished it. That's what it says, literally. All such as these who live and try to finish what God has already finished, spinning their wheels, living in houses built on shifting sand rather than the rock that never rolls, Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 32:1, even Moses knew it. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching distill as the rain, my speech, or drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, that's early in the morning, and as the showers that cleanse and refresh the herb, the plant life of earth. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is a rock. His work is finished, perfect. Tamim, it means complete or perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth, and without iniquity or injustice, righteous and upright, just and right is he. Man is incapable of pleasing God except by faith, faith alone, and can only be acceptable to God by faith in Jesus Christ, by association with Jesus Christ, courtesy of his finished work, in which we are commanded to trust entirely in what Christ has done, not what we do, but what he has done for us. Therefore, knowing ourselves, as one of his own because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, that makes you one of his. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you remain in the safe place as one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High under the pavilion of his finished work sacrifice, beloved of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation is firm, remains with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from wrongdoing. Under the sacrifice, under the pavilion of his finished work sacrifice, each one beloved of the Lord, and inside his plan of providence and deliverance that works out all the details in your life. You look back and you say, how did I get there? How did I get here? Why am I still here? It's because the Lord got you through it, brought you through it, and kept you through it, and preserved you, and you're still alive and well. He is not forgetful with regard to what Jesus did for you, which was the hardest thing of all. Therefore, all other things, including our stupid, willful, sinful, hurtful, and harmful thoughts, words, and deeds, do not present any challenge at all. For Christ paid the full price and penalty for all of those things. Romans 8:28 and 32. 8:28, he works all things together for good. 8:32, it says that he who spared not his only son, but gave him up freely for us all, how much more will he not along with him give us all other things besides? That's the easy part. He'll provide everything you need. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring or lay anything to the charge? Who's going to accuse God's called ones, his elect? It's God who declares you righteous and imputed righteousness to you. God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died as your substitute in your place. Died for you. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. It's finished. Can you see it? Do you see it? God never forgets to remember your sins no more. You remember that from Hebrews 10:17. God never forgets to remember your sins no more. Hebrews 10:17. When we look back from the end of our life, we will surely see that all things were perfectly planned, powerfully executed. God did them. And all of the fuss was for nothing. Sounds good now, doesn't it? Till tomorrow when you start fussing again. All the anxiety and trepidation is unnecessary because it was all well in hand, all of it. So starting tonight, let's begin living as though that were true. And you'll be surprised how your life will change for the better when you finally live by "it is finished." At the most critical moment in all of human history, when God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, in whom the fullness of deity dwelt in bodily form in Colossians 2:9, hung on the cross, suffering eternally, as eternity was compressed into what seemed to be a three-hour period from noon to 3 p.m. that Friday afternoon, April 4th, 30 A.D. While that suffering took place, every sin was imputed and judged. And when they were all told, Jesus would exclaim, "Tetelestai," it is finished. Breathe his last breath, commit his spirit to the Father and close his eyes in death. But that's not the end. It's only the beginning of something so wonderful that it can hardly be fathomed. That is, a completely finished salvation package, wrapped and tied with a ribbon, with a tag that says, "It is finished." And then it has one of those to and from cards on it, says, "To you, your name, from Jesus Christ." In it is everything you'll ever need. It's all there. Comes complete with the instruction manual. But you have one on your lap. That's the instruction manual on how you live in "It is finished." How you live the life of "It is finished." It's all there. And so you have the instruction manual. But you'll have to untie it. You'll have to unwrap it. You'll have to examine its contents. Then you'll have to read and learn what the manual has to say to use and enjoy the fullness of peace and joy it contains, the strength, stability, and symmetry or balance that it imparts to your life. Once you discover that it's finished, you can really live. You won't need drugs or alcohol anymore. You won't need the praise of men, social acceptance, or popularity anymore. You were never popular anyway. You just wanted to be and never quite got there. Anybody relate to that? You won't need incessant entertainment, continuous entertainment, or exotic vacations anymore. You can still take them if you want to, but you'll have just as much fun staying home. You will find that you rarely, if ever, fuss, fret, or fear, but rather frequently overwhelmed with gratitude and flooded with joy. Even though nothing unusual has happened, rather something from the Word that you read and that God showed you, revealed to you, ignited a fire within. Your blessing box, that's what I call it, your finished work blessing box, contains everything that you'll ever need for life and for godliness. That is, for the sustenance of your physical life and godliness, your spiritual life. And all of it is contained, all of it is contained and explained in the manual, which you'll be motivated to read and study continually for the joy that it brings in Jeremiah 15:16. I found his word, and I read it. Oh, I ate it. It became unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It took Peter quite a long time to learn these things. And even Peter needed Paul to help him. We learn about that in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul reams Peter out for being an elitist. And in 2 Peter 3:14-18, he says, "These things Paul understands better than the rest of us, and we need to learn them from him. Lest we be accused of being Paul-only Christians, we will consult Peter also this evening." 2 Peter 3:14. "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent, urgent, without being anxious, to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, effortless attainment. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation." He hasn't returned yet. "Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. And also in all his letters." Peter must have been a fan of Paul's letters. He read them all. "In all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which, granted, are some things hard to understand." Have you found that to be true? I know it's true. And if it's true for me, it's true for you. It's true for you, it's true for me. If it's true for me, it's true for Peter. It's true for me. "Many things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort. as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. They're trying to finish what's already finished. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by this same error, the error of the unprincipled men, and fall from your own steadfastness. Just keep plugging. But grow in the grace. It's the grace of Christ's finished work and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He did it all. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. The package contains every spiritual blessing and aronios, which means in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. Paul said it like that in Ephesians 1:3. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received like precious faith with us, a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace through the finished work sacrifice of Christ be multiplied. I like it to be multiplied. Not added, but multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything that pertains to life, that is, your physical life on the earth, complete provision of all that you need, guaranteed logistics, and godliness, that is, all the assets of your spiritual life, assets, instruments, and accoutrements of your spiritual life, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Not ours, his. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. That's the manual to understand what it is finished means and how to live the it is finished life. So that by them you may become, listen to this, participants or partakers of the divine nature. You'll understand it even as he does, and live the way he did and does even now. For indeed it's finished. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Indeed it's finished. And how well he knows it. And how well we should know it also. Come to know it. So he says that you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. It's already done. That is in the world through lust. That is transformation without travail. We have effortless attainment, urgency without anxiety, and transformation without trying or without travail. Now, for this reason also, applying all diligence, there's urgency without anxiety. Listen to this carefully. It says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust, that's transformation without travail. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, that's urgency without anxiety, in your faith, or to your faith, supply moral excellence. These things are added as you go. And in your moral excellence, knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, agape, God's very own love. All of these things are in your box. Your blessing box comes complete with all these and more, which you must discover and learn to use. Verse 8 says, for if these qualities are yours, and they are, and are increasing, and they may or may not be, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll do just fine. You'll make steady progress. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten the finished work of Christ. That is, that it is finished. That is his purification from all of his former sins. He forgot about that. Doggone it, I forgot about that. That I've been purged from all of my sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more urgent without anxiety to make certain about his calling and choosing you, that you know who you are in Christ. And you know what he's done for you. You have that identificational awareness of identity in Christ, personal sense of identity, security, identity, and destiny in Christ because of the finished work. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Not only do these ensure fruitful service and a life of contentment, gratitude and contentment, a happy life, but also heavenly rewards for those who glorify God by the life of faith, hope, and love. Courtesy of the finished work of Christ. Too much emphasis cannot be given to tetelestai, or it is finished, even as is also true of another dramatic perfect tense and verb, gegraptai, which is it is written. It is finished and it is written. Where both are concerned, the dramatic perfect tense demands a dramatic pause, an interlude. To silence the audience, it's a call to ponder and consider these most important and foundational declarations of ultimate truth. That is, it is finished and it is written. Tetelestai and gegraptai. The one as strong as the other, and together irrepressible, undefeatable. I say it is finished because it is written. Something temporary fades and must be done over and over again. But something that is permanent needs only to be done once. In Hebrews, it says hapax and f-hapax, once and for all. Only once. Something that is permanent needs only to be done once. Something paid for at a cost too great for anyone else to pay can only be given away or shared. Can't be purchased. And so it is for the price paid and the gift given for this so great salvation that's been given to us. In Hebrews 2:3, it says, how shall we escape? That is the negative consequences, unintended consequences of bad decisions and wrongful and wrong actions and wrong thinking, doing the wrong things, thinking the wrong things, choosing the wrong things, and doing the wrong things. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with a variety of miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. See, God did it all. That's how he did it. That's how he persuaded us. That's how he convinced us. That's how he drew us and called us and brought us to himself. In Galatians 3:1, Paul says to the Galatians, oh, stupid Galatians, who's cast a spell on you that you should not obey the truth? That is to live outside of the reality and ultimate frame of reference, which is the finished work of Christ. Before whose eyes Christ was evidently set forth, crucified among you. He paid for it all and finished the work. This only would I learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Hearing and believing, by hearing and believing. Are you so stupid, so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now finished or perfected by the flesh? words, teleo, finished, made perfect by the flesh. Did you finish something, or did God finish it? Did Christ finish it all? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministers to you through the Holy Spirit, teaches you by the Spirit, works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing and believing? Well, the answer is obvious. Therefore, finished work of Christ is priceless, precious, invaluable, irreplaceable, inimitable, exclusive, exceptional, entirely unique. It's what Christ came to provide and has done a really good job of doing so. He finished the work of redemption for us so that we enter into a finished work, salvation, from beginning to end. It can't be bought or sold, as Simon the sorcerer proposed in Acts 8. Matt Schultz and I were talking about this earlier this evening, and he was telling me that he talks to people that say that they're Christians, and all they talk about is how much money they gave or the good deeds that they did. And that's all well and good, but that's not what we're here for, and that's not what makes you a Christian. But if you would listen to them, you would think that was their testimony. Their testimony was they did so many good things, God accepted them and gave so much money that he gave them eternal life or something like that. There are those who think and teach that tithing or giving is the way to please God. Like so many television and radio evangelists and teachers. When in fact the opposite's true. Receiving and believing is the way to please him. Receiving what he's given. Believing and receiving what he's given is the way to please him. In Acts 8:14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, Philip went down to Samaria and preached the word of God, and they believed in droves. They sent unto them Peter and John, and when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he, the Holy Spirit, was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is in the interim period between the dispensations. And the apostles were used mightily for this purpose. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered the money. Same thing. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, your money perish with you. That's what we say, because you thought that the gift of God had something to do with money. Sin pays wages, while eternal life and supernatural life, spiritual life, is a free gift. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what you pay for. That's the pay you get. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Christ paid the wages of sin, which was death by his death, by his finished work, and gives us the free gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it or deserve it. But it comes freely. It's given freely. The free gift, free and irrevocable gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages were paid, the gift given, the Holy Spirit is the seal of authenticity so that no one can tamper with or counterfeit the real thing. He, the Holy Spirit, magnifies the finished work of Christ, sees to it that the gospel remains pure. See, what we say is only believe. That's it. Sola fide. That's what Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, rediscovered from his in-depth study of Romans. Imagine that. We think about that today. We say, of course, it's faith alone in Christ alone. Well, they had lost. That had been lost, all but lost. He says, sola fide. We say, only believe in the person and finished work, sacrifice of Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal life, which is only possible if indeed it is finished. It can't be possible any other way. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Only one from whom came the cry, Tetelestai, who would afterward die, our great God and Savior, GG&S. I told Ty he worked for GG&C Bus Company. When I said GG&S is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, I don't know what GG&C even stands for. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the finished work Christ, where we have an empty cross and an empty tomb. If he's still on the cross, like on a crucifix, then he remains as he was, dead. Not as he is forever alive and coming again, this time to get us and to take us where he is. I say to them, those that worship that way, did you forget that he rose from the dead? I know that he died on a cross. He's still on there. Did you forget that he rose from the dead? We have an empty cross and an empty tomb. 1 Corinthians 15:1. And now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand firm, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, unless you believed in vain. Maybe you didn't believe all of those. Maybe you just believe that he's hanging on a cross, that he never rose from the dead. You can't be saved if you don't believe that he rose from the dead. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 is about. And so, for I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's tetelestai and gegraptai, according to the Scriptures. It is finished, it is written. And that he appeared to Rocky, Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, proving himself alive by many convincing proofs. That's what Luke says in Acts chapter 1. Most of whom remain until now, the writing of this epistle, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, one born very late, at the last minute, like one that was taken from the womb of death, just before life was snuffed from him, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored more than all the rest of them put together. Yet it wasn't me, but the grace of God that was with me and upon me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Many things here to be considered, many things to be grateful for, many things to ponder in our hearts. It is either finished or it's not. It's either complete or it's incomplete, and we know that indeed it is complete. Let us be those who live as though it is true, which it is true. Let us live and demonstrate that truth in our lives. For we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our finished work Savior substitute, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was buried in the earth, and placed in a rich man's tomb, and on the third day he rose from the dead. If there's anyone in the sound of my voice this evening on sermon audio that has never believed in Christ, this is a golden opportunity to do so. Take that fork of faith and stick it in what I just said, and then put it in your mouth and chew it, and eat it, swallow it. That's how easy it is to believe in Christ. It's something that you swallow. It's something that you think about and say yes to. And then it goes deep inside of you. And then God begins to open you up and begins to change your heart and fix your sadness and your sickness. And will show you things that you never even believed could be true for others, let alone for you. And how finished it is. What he's done is what he requires. He has proposed to do everything for you, in you, through you, and to you that he requires of you. How gracious is that? That sounds to me like an offer that you cannot or certainly should not refuse. And so you can do that now. Father, Heavenly Father, you can say, I'm believing in Christ. That's all, nothing more. It's faith alone in Christ alone. The one who died on the cross, was placed in the tomb, and rose from the dead on the third day, and is coming again. You don't want to be left behind when he comes. So if you believe in him, he'll take you out of here before all heaven breaks loose, all hell breaks loose upon the earth. And it's a coming. You think the pandemic is bad? I can only imagine what's coming down the pike. For he said there many things would occur, many things that would be very, very difficult. And that even among Christians, even among believers, that the love of many would grow cold because of the abundance of sin and what people do and what people have taken upon themselves to do. And forgetting and neglecting the word of God. But Father, we just pray for the church that this trend of Laodicea would not be so thoroughgoing and so deep that it would reach to all of us or even to our church here, but that we would be those who stand against the tide of the trend of lukewarm Christianity in the last days, and those who stand firm on the foundation that says it is finished. We pray in the matchless name of Christ. Also, Father, bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen. It is finished.